I'm Kevin McCrory, and this is a Studio 2 Extra. Many people know Hamilton Lighthouser as the lead singer of the band The Walkmen. The band has a special connection to Philadelphia. Several members lived here. Others, including Hamilton, lived in New York City, but logged thousands of miles on the New Jersey Turnpike to practice together at a no-frill spot in North Philly. The band has mostly been on hiatus for more than a decade, but Hamilton has developed a successful solo career. His latest record, This Side of the Island, came out in March. I spoke with Hamilton recently ahead of his May 15th show at the Ardmore Music Hall. He opens up about loss, reflects on his early work, and laments the impacts of how streaming has affected art. We started by talking about how his latest effort was a decade in the making.
Well, I always wanted to finish it. I mean, I didn't want it to take 10 years, but I couldn't get to the point where it just felt done. And I didn't know why. Even though I love the songs, I didn't have that like little sprinkle of whatever it was that made me feel like, oh man, people have got to hear this. Finally, after all this time, I didn't give up on my songs, and they finally came together, and I felt like I sort of revisited all of them at the end, and things started falling into place, and very quickly it all suddenly happened at the end, and then I suddenly had a thing, and then I thought, oh my God, I really want people to hear this, and then I was done.
So was it something you had to do to change the songs, or was it something that you had to change in your mind to be ready to feel like it was done?
I was at the point where I really didn't know if I had a lot of music or like nothing. And it's just because I'd sort of been by myself for all these years, just kind of getting in my own head. And I ran into Aaron Dessner, who's an old friend. He invited me up to his studio, and he said, you know, I'll come up and play it for me, and I can, you know, we can talk or whatever, we could record or anything. And I thought, well, that's a nice offer. So
and he's a big producer. Obviously he's worked with Taylor Swift, he's from the National, etc.
Yeah, he's doing just fine. And he's got this great studio, and he's a really great guy. And so I went up there and just played him all my stuff. It was, and he loved it, and he played a couple things on some songs, and just hearing his take on it, honestly, kind of just, it was the first time I played it for anybody else. And anytime you ever play things for other people, you suddenly, it just changes your perception of your own stuff. And that was the moment where I thought, oh man, this is, now it's new. And honestly, like a week later, it was done.
Wow. So do you think of this as like a document of your life? And if you do, like, what do you think that this album is kind of emotionally doing?
If there's an overarching theme, it was kind of like learning to just live in a world where I had a couple close family members pass away, and a couple of friends pass away too during the last 5 years. It was kind of tough, actually. And I guess at the end of it, it was kind of like I wanted to have like an optimistic, I wanted to have an optimistic message of hope, but I also sort of had to acknowledge that everything wasn't exactly going the way that I'd hoped it would. And I think maybe that's the kind of path the record follows.
The thing I wrote in my notes was, I'm hearing themes of grappling with middle age, grappling with being an artist, a dad, a husband, a weariness, maybe a jadedness, but then, like you said, a deep commitment to seeking hope and joy.
Yeah, you don't want to, like, just have a flat-out downer. I mean, it's fun to sing about, like, the blues, or you got to – it's not fun to just wallow.
Yeah, yeah. I really love the back half of the album especially, and it feels like you're building to, like, this emotional catharsis in the final track. It's the title track, This Side of the Island. Could we hear a little bit of that track?
Running right.
Hamilton, I love that song. I love the way it builds there. Who were you singing to at the end? You repeat that verse over and over again. I just want you to love me the way that I love you.
I think it's maybe like my friends and family that are gone that I didn't get to say goodbye to in the right way. And maybe if you don't have a better answer for when things aren't going totally right, it's kind of the only thing you can offer up if you think that the world's going in the wrong direction. Maybe it was just sort of like it's kind of all you can, I was in kind of a dark spot, and it's kind of maybe it's all you can fall back on was kind of the thought at the time, to be perfectly honest. I love playing that one live, and I'm really excited to get out and do that across the country.
I was going to ask you, when you do play that live, do you have to get in the headspace that you kind of talked about you were in when you were writing it to really perform it and feel it the way that you wrote it?
I think I always do that when I'm playing my own songs, because I don't know, I've come to realize as I get older, like when I get up on stage and I really want to play one of my songs, I always sort of like throw myself into it. And I guess I remember what I like, why. I remember where I was when I wrote it, and I remember what I was thinking. And it's like therapy. It's like I've accomplished something after I perform my songs. When I feel like I felt something, and it's, I feel like I can actually sort of like, get out of my mind, like day-to-day life when I'm on stage playing. For some reason that works for me.
100%, right? I mean, just being able to lose yourself completely in something is such a privilege and a pleasure.
Yeah, it's the only time I really can do that, to be honest.
I'm going to say this in the highest compliment of the sense, but I hear a lot of dad energy on this record.
You dad have energy or dad bad energy?
Dad energy, and I have four kids.
What's dad energy like?
I'm just feeling like this is a guy who is a dad trying to figure out life, and he knows how to write songs, and here they are.
Well, that is pretty accurate. Yeah.
I'm curious, how have you kind of navigated the world of being an artist while also being a father to your kids are youngish, right?
One's a teenager now, so that's kind of funny. I always, when I was younger, you think like, you know, your kids, that's gonna be the end, that's it, that's the end, it's over. But I always felt like it just gave me more focus on when I, you know, I just sort of like waste less time. Like, we used to just, you know, kind of drink beer and play like, you know, Anna Gatta DeVita in the studio for like hours and hours on it. Like, you don't really need to do that.
So if you don't mind, I'd like to go back in time a bit. I want to play you a snippet of the Walkman song, We've Been Had. And this is from the 2002 album, Everyone Who Pretended to Like Me Is Gone. If we could play a little snippet of that song.
We've been had. You say it's over. Sometimes I'm just happy.
You wrote this song when you were in your mid-20s, and it seems like you're looking back on a slightly younger version of yourself, expressing some joy for how you matured, gained a certain wisdom. I'm curious what that song meant to you at the time and what it means to you now that you're in your late 40s.
I wrote the lyrics to that song when I was sitting in my philosophy of literature class at NYU. Not paying any attention to anything that anybody was saying. And I remember the day when I read, it would have been in the winter of 2000. And it was kind of funny because I'm talking about, like, you know, how silly I was when I was 19. I think I was 21 at the time. So it's not like I wasn't really that far out of the woods at that time. I don't know. I just sort of got a kick out of that idea.
So like you said, you're 21 years old and you're looking back at when you're 19 and you're almost poking fun of yourself. I'm just, right. Now that you're in your late 40s and you think about that song, like, how does that calculate?
It's funny to think that I thought that I was older and wiser. it was a lot coming to me. I mean, you know, I was still just a kid. I don't know. Sometimes, like, my father-in-law says that he feels like he grew up to be 19, and then he never matured after that. I sort of feel like I got to be 23, and then I'm like, deep down, I'm just 23 years old. I mean, I do have kids and things are a little bit different, but like, I'm really just like a 23-year-old guy.
Do you think we've been had still? And who had us?
I don't know who had us. Back then, I definitely thought I knew. I don't know. I don't know what I thought. Well, I don't know what I was doing. That was a different guy right now back then.
Yeah, no doubt. Curious your aspirations as an artist. How have they evolved over time?
You know, it's weird. When I was younger, when I was like a little kid, I used to watch like Michael Jackson on stage, and then I'd watch like Mick Jagger and people like that, and I'd just be like, I want to do that. So I want to be one of those guys so badly. I just really, really want to be one of those guys. And now when I look, when I see the people who are at like the top of the game, like the top of the music scene, like for instance, and this is not to insult the person at all, but I just happened to be watching something the other day where Harry Styles was on, and he was like dancing around, and everybody's going crazy. And I was just thinking, I have no interest in doing that ever again. I mean, not again, not that I ever did that, but I have no interest in trying to aspire to be that like guy rocking a stadium, singing and having people singing my lyrics right back at me, and just being like, I don't know, just that. I don't know what that means. I still love playing my songs and stuff, but I have no interest in, I don't know, being like a rock star, I guess is the, I guess that's what I was thinking when I was younger.
Well, it seems like you can have a real balanced life now. You can go play tennis and you can be a dad and you can also tour the country
Yeah,
and
but
play
it's more
songs.
about like the fundamental, like the ambition is different. I
Yeah.
feel like I feel like I'm more ambitious with my songwriting and my lyrics and even with my performance, but I just have no interest I don't know, being sort of a the huge pop star or something like that.
Yeah. Curious your take on, I guess, how the music industry has changed and everything with streaming. And like, do you think it's been a net positive, negative? If there was like, a 20,
Negative, absolute,
yeah,
100%
negative.
negative. Since I started actually selling records in my life, it's been nothing but downhill. I mean, I guess that technically the lowest was when it was Napster and nobody bought anything, and now they're streaming. But I just find the whole concept of streaming so depressing. And I mean, attention spans. I'm just gonna sound like an old man complaining, but it really is just so depressing. The whole like, people only listen to 30 seconds of one song, and you got every single song at your fingertips, so you have so much at your fingertips that you never really, fall in love with anything like you used to. And I just find that, it's just kind of grim.
So, would a 21-year-old Hamilton Lighthouser right now be starting a band and focusing on music, or would it just be too much?
I had nothing else, man. I would figure something out. Yeah, I figured it out then. I mean, it was not easy getting started. I mean, I can tell you, it was even back in the day when people bought records. First of all, they were not buying my records when I started out for a long time. They were not buying my tickets. They were not buying my records. They're not buying anything. For a while, I schlepped around the East Village with very little success for a while. You just have to. I don't know. I would have made it work somehow, I think.
I have to ask you about your Philadelphia connection and the connection of the band to Philadelphia.
Oh man, I mean, we did our time. Ninth and Girard, to have band practice, we used to have to go down there. I mean, it was like a major operation. Like, it was a schlep, man. We had a landlord, his name was Ratface. And he specifically wanted you to call him Ratface. So we're like, hey, Ratface, what's happening, man? How are you? The rent was optional. So we would pay, it was either $50 or optional zero. And he would always sort of mention that. And it was like, okay, how about zero? And he's like, sure, yeah, fine. And he didn't care at all. We had no heat or air conditioning. So in the summer, it was so hot that everybody was just, just covered in sweat. And then in the winter, we had a kerosene space heater in the middle of the room, and you'd be so cold that you put your feet on the thing, and then your soles would melt, and then the whole room would smell like burning rubber, which is just disgusting. And then the thing, by like the end of the first winter, it was like covered in black shoe marks, so it was like this disgusting black rubber coated nasty thing. So yeah, a lot of fond memories.
And do you still feel like a special connection when you play the city? Do you feel like there's kind of
Yeah,
more of a
definitely.
groundswell?
You know what I always love so much about Philly, the Philly music scene was, they all knew each other and were all friends. And I was always like so jealous of that because, you know, you're friends with one, all of a sudden you're friends with like 30 people and they all go to like Johnny Brenda's together and then they all know all the bands and they all go to each other's shows. And I always thought that was like such a nice camaraderie that they all had. And that's like the opposite of like New York, or my experience of being in New York bands, are kind of like everybody kind of like eyeing each other and like staying out of each other's way. And I mean, it's a much bigger city here, but it did seem like Philly, particularly more than any other place, really had like this great big group.
And I don't know if you could do this, but if you had a perfect 24 hours in Philadelphia, what would you do?
Well, first of all, nothing would get stolen, which would be a great first treat. I like that Barnes collection down there, the new one. That's nice. I like that Philly Museum. You can probably stop by Johnny Red. Go by DePinto. You know, maybe walk up and down Girard, see some friends up in Fishtown. You can burn your lungs
in the salty air. That was musician Hamilton Lighthouser, who was on tour with his latest record, This Side of the Island. He'll be at the Ardmore Music Hall on Thursday, May 15th. This Studio 2 Extra was produced by me, Kevin McCrory, with help from Debbie Builder and Paige Mary Bessler. Mike Schiffler is our visual editor. Tina Calique and Al Banks engineered the recording. Studio 2 is Greater Philadelphia's home for live conversation. Catch the show Tuesday through Thursday at noon on WHYY-FM and streaming on WHYY's YouTube channel. Our Studio 2 Extras are the best in everything else we find interesting, thought-provoking, and inspiring. I was always brave.